Good morning, everybody. I hope your Wednesday's off to an awesome start. We have much to discuss. Public holiday was Monday. And yeah, I think a lot of people still going to go slow. Even though it's a four-day week, you know how it goes. Hope you got to do something for Father's Day. It's pretty much the only outing I had the whole weekend was we did some stuff with my dad. Took him for breakfast. And then, because my mother was away for the weekend, she went to go and visit her sister in Cape Town. So on Sunday night, I cooked a gigantic steak with my dad, which was like very father-son-like. And then he proceeded to show me a whole lot of YouTube videos of shotgun manufacturers in the UK. So, I mean, I don't think you get much more, you know, Father's Day than that. I think I did pretty well, right? Decent. I see that Israel has completely and utterly brought Iran to its knees, despite all the best confirmed warnings from people like Tucker Carlson that this is going to break into World War III. I saw so many things on the internet about, you know, oh no, well, we don't need another war and all of this stuff. And I hesitate to remind people, but then I sometimes remember myself that they're actually very slow and stupid. This war, in terms of Israel's existence, has been going on for 70 years, so it's not a new war. And Iran and Israel, interestingly enough, I listened to a podcast from Dan Snow the other day, who's a great history guy. He put together a really interesting discussion with an Iranian academic who said that it's not that long ago that Iran and Israel were actually allies. In fact, in the 90s, you would have found Iran and Israel pretty much in agreement on many of the things that were going on in the Middle East. And they would have found themselves at least on the same side of those issues. They might not have actually been like shoulder to shoulder, standing together allies, but I think that there were definitely things that they had in common. And look at Iran now. Remember also that Iran before the Ayatollahs, when the Shah was still in charge, Iran was a totally different place. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a great nation in the sense that, you know, it was able to carry its head high with other nations of, you know, the world's sort of top draw echelon. But I think they did pretty well, and it was certainly a free society. There were things about Iran that made it a very desirable place for people to find themselves. And then, before that, obviously, if you go back into very ancient history, the fact that this was Persia, the source of the world's first truly great empire under Cyrus Kerosh the Great, who built the incredible Apadanas of Pasargadae and Persepolis. I mean, these are amazing, amazing people whose roots go deep. When I did my DNA test not so long ago, you know, you do those mouth swabs and send them in, and then they tell you what your female and male haplotypes are and where kind of you come from in very ancient history, which is interesting enough to do. And I suggest anyone do it because it's just fun. And then it breaks down kind of where you're from in the world. And much of it was completely predictable, but I'm always curious about the 3% Persian that I have in me. So I found it interesting to know that. It kind of made a little bit more about what's going on in Iran at the moment personal. But I saw an interesting comment, just pop that back up, that the Iranian regime is about to topple. I don't know if they're going to topple, but it's certainly not looking very stable. Let's put it that way. And if I were Ayatollah Khamenei, I would be a little bit more than slightly nervous. I would not answer my phone if it rang, etc., etc. Here we go. It's from Patrick. The Iran regime is about to get toppled. The ANC's backhand cash is gone. Well, that's obviously a big, big problem for them because the Iranians are supposed to have bailed them out and paid the Latuli house bills, which they hadn't paid. You know, all their cleaners, the people who, you know, do the hard work at Latuli House. Like, imagine having to clean up after Fikilim Balula. That must be the worst job in the fucking world. And then they don't pay you. You're like, you're catching taxis in the morning to go to your domestic worker job, and everyone else in the taxi is complaining about their bosses, and then you're like, I'm not going to tell them who I work for because I don't want to say ANC because they'll immediately feel sorry for me. But also, I might not get paid this month. And now with Iran not being in the best condition to hand out money. And remember, with what Israel's been doing in the last little while, it doesn't matter whether you like Israel or not, by the way. I'm not particularly fussed if you think that this is a terrible thing and Israel's acting out of sorts and they're being unkind or whatever you might think. The reality is, history is about winners and losers, and the losers are invariably going to be the Iranians out of this story because their nuclear capabilities have been leveled. They took out 9 of the top 9 scientists in nuclear engineering, refinement, uranium enrichment, building of ballistic rockets and missiles. So they've been absolutely hamstrung. And the Natanz facility, which is where they develop a lot of their nuclear stuff, is gone. There's one called, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think it's called Fordo or Fordu. That's the one that's like 90 meters underground and made of solid concrete. And you need like bunker buster bombs that not even the Israelis have, but the Americans do. And what's so amazing about this, right, is that Trump, who everybody has a problem with, has played this perfectly. You could not have done this better from Trump's point of view. He was like, well, we're going to give the Iranians a deal. If they want a deal, we'll make a deal. And he was telling everybody that we were going to have some sort of JCPA, which was the agreement that Obama put in place, which basically created the conditions for Iran to continue working on their nuclear program. A very, very bad deal. Trump always said, the worst deal in American history. He loves a deal. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing to me how in all of this, he's kind of greenlit what Israel's been doing. And the other part of this that's amazing is that Syria, which just up to a short while ago was run by Bashar al-Assad, allowed Israel complete freedom in their skies, which they needed in order to take the couple of thousand kilometer journey to Iran to do what they had to do. And if you saw any of those surgical missile strikes that were conducted on an apartment building where there was some high-ranking military officer whose apartment on the corner of the building had a hole where a rocket had gone in and the scorch marks and burn marks of the fire that came out of his windows, and the rest of the building is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Pristine. Phenomenal. I mean, you can say what you like about Iran or Israel. You could say you're on this side or on that. You can talk to me about politics as much as you like. But history is about winners and losers. And I think it is fair to say at this point that Iran is going to lose this, and it's going to be a humiliating loss at that. They could have changed this at any time. They could have decided a while ago to not give the go-ahead to Hamas on October the 7th in 2023. They could have stopped arming Hezbollah, which also turned out not to be a huge threat to Israel. But no. The Iranian regime was full of hubris and pride, and pride will come to a fall. So I think that's a fascinating story that developed over the weekend. Apparently it's ongoing, and we'll keep you updated here as we find out more too. But I want to turn my attention to a much more fun topic, a much more fun human being, and someone who's going to spend this Wednesday morning hopefully laughing with us about all the stupid stuff that's going on in the world. Here's Q Dube. How are you, dude?
I'm good.
Nice to see you, man.
It's good to see you again.
I hear they were giving you some shit at the boom.
No, you know, I'm like, it's okay. He's doing his job.
Because you're Zimbabwean and they're being anti, they're xenophobic? And
No. I don't, look at the hot potato, Garrett. He just hot potatoed me in the morning. He's like, yeah, take that. Like, nah, it was, he tells me, 5 minutes after going back and forth,
yeah,
that it's his first day.
Oh,
I'm
shame.
Like, okay, why did you lead with that? You know, so
I felt bad because I drove past the guy and he shouted hello, but by then I was already going around the corner, so it was no point in me waving.
Right.
But you know, when I drive past someone, even if I don't know them, and if I wave,
yeah,
and then they don't wave back, I'm always like, oh, you son of a miserable son of a bitch.
Right. I get you.
And now I was that guy this morning. So
I must say, he didn't know who you were.
You didn't know who
I was? No. I was like, I'm going to Gareth.
Yeah, but that's fine. He's like, I mean, there are lots of people who don't know who I am.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to let you know. I'm going
to
tell
you. Here is our servant, James, to bring you some coffee this morning.
Wow.
Have you met James?
Yeah, I've met him. Like, but servant?
You don't like the word servant?
To a black... No, I'm saying...
That's James. He's a white man.
Yeah, so that's
I can call him a servant.
Like what,
okay, so what's wrong with the word servant?
No. I'm not that there's anything wrong. I'm saying, like, having a servant as a black man.
Argument. I'm not. I didn't bring you here to like grill you. I'm just wondering because I don't know. Like it used to be, you were in the service industry, or you were in service, as in you worked in someone's house. You served the meals, or you cleaned the rooms, or whatever. And I don't think there's anything dishonorable about that job.
No, there isn't. I think it's just the historical thing that just then came with it.
Well, right? Then people must stop being so fucking sensitive. We should start using servant again.
You think so?
Yes. I think there are two ways to approach this. Either you keep on kowtowing to people's sensitivity and their prickliness and their trigger, and you allow them to be fragile human beings who will probably end up at some point spinning out of control and murdering someone or crying or falling apart or making the workplace ungovernable for everyone else.
Right.
Or you say to them, I'm going to use the word, you just better get over it.
Fair, but I think that also comes with a thing, right? So with this, there's an actual historic thing that comes
with
it.
So everything's historic. I was talking about Iran and Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine going into Israel now and say, well, you know, I'm actually very pro-Iranian. There are going to be people who get triggered. You could do that in South Africa. You could, I mean, we were talking about how the ANC was basically being funded by these guys, or certainly they were sent money by them. They were Naledi Pandor's big friends, right? If you walked into the Union buildings this morning and said, you know, hey, shit, Israel's done an amazing job, huh? You're going to trigger a bunch of them.
Right.
And that's because there are historical ties. Now, those histories may go back a day, they may go back 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Most people who talk about how they're historically hurt by something can't tell you more than a couple of days of what they remember. And they've probably not picked up a huge number of history books, because if you did, you'd realize very quickly that history is basically about people fucking each other up.
That's true.
Being sensitive about it is just stupid.
I wouldn't say so. Okay, so coming from where I come from, right, we have a thing called Kukurahundi. Mm-hmm. Right, Kukurahundi was the massacre of Ndebele people.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that was it started just before, but it happened mostly under Mugabe.
Yes, exactly.
In the early part of his reign.
Reign, right?
Reign is the right word.
Exactly. So now,
and the Matabele, because I don't know a huge amount about this, but the Matabele and the Ndebele are the same people.
Yeah,
they were just separated by the Limpopo, and when artificial colonial borders
were drawn, and all of that.
Northern Rhodesia and the Union of South Africa arbitrarily, and these people were split across these artificial borders.
Exactly. Right. So now you find when that happens, right, we have people now who are like my parents and older who experienced it. So I may not have gone through it,
dude,
but I know what the thing is. So if there is, and it's not saying tippy toe around the thing.
No, sure.
Right? But the sensitivity around, oh, this is a real thing.
Okay, but okay, so go back to this.
Go back to
I met some Afrikaans people a while ago. Now, the Anglo-Boer War, as far as I can remember, happened at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century.
Right.
Right? So 1906 or 3 or 4, somewhere around there it all ended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's more than 120 years ago.
Right.
And there are still people who are sensitive about it. And my whole point is, you got to get over it at some point, because you are not going to be able to change history.
Yeah,
and true. The people who are here now weren't even alive then.
True.
And you can't blame people for their ancestors. Otherwise, we're going to go back all the way into the so distant past that we're going to run out of things to blame for the people.
Right. So
you know what I mean?
I think where maybe the disconnect in the conversation then is maybe the thought is we're saying rectify that. I'm not a part of that conversation. What I'm saying is, not to say it shouldn't happen. What I'm saying is the acknowledgement of the thing, to say, yo, man, hey, whoo, because there are people who benefited from that thing, right? Even though they weren't there, it was their ancestors and whatever.
Yes, so.
There's a benefit, right?
So luck of the draw.
Right.
I mean, you
could
have
fine,
been,
but
you could have been on the wrong side of the Rhine River in any period from 1945 going back for 2,000 years, and you'd either be killed or kill.
That's okay.
You know, so this is just how it works. Like, I do wish that humans would stop attributing to their ancestors qualities that they themselves don't even have. Peace and love. And
right.
What kind of naive view is this of human behavior and of human history? That we all, the morals and the norms and the ideas that we have today can just be copied and pasted onto people who came before. I mean, I know there's a lot of excitement around Shaka Ilembe at the moment, which I think is beautifully produced. Mm-hmm. And I've watched some trailers and things. I'm saving it up to watch the whole thing.
Right.
Because I love that story, and as a kid I was just fascinated with it to an unhealthy degree. Like a little white kid would dress up like fucking Shaka, you know. He was like a hero to me because he was a winner and he united all these disparate little tribes and put together the Zulu nation and kind of was a military genius.
Right.
Right. Developed new weapons, technology, new forms of attack. Mm-hmm. He was an absolutely brilliant man. Now, you could meet people in Lesotho or in Swaziland whose ancestors have for 250 years said nothing but how much they hate Shaka.
Yeah.
And I think that they're missing out on something because they've got their feelings that might get hurt. They're not reading the history. They're not paying attention. Don't get me wrong. You're allowed to be sentimental about history. Who the hell am I to tell you not to?
Right.
And you can be proud of where you come from. In fact, I think you should be.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be one of those people who says to other people that they shouldn't use certain words or they shouldn't talk about certain things because it's going to make them uncomfortable or nervous, you just sound like one of those women in Hollywood who complains all the time about how everybody is attacking her and she feels all put upon. There was an old lady, I don't know if you saw in these protests that they had, because they had that military parade, which I didn't even end up seeing in America.
Right.
And they were calling it Trump's birthday parade because his birthday coincided with the 250th anniversary of the establishment of, I don't know, the military or whatever it was.
Right.
So they interviewed people at these No Kings protests in America. Interviewed this one lady, this 78-year-old woman or whatever. And she's crying. You can see this woman is in severe distress, right?
Right.
She's probably got fuck all to worry about. She didn't look to me like she was starving.
She was starving or whatever, right?
She didn't look like she was, assaulted every afternoon by some man, that she was living in the most appalling conditions. She looked like an LA woman who probably was a hippie when she was younger, believes in peace and love and all that stuff, which is beautiful,
it's fine, good for
her. But she was wailing and crying. See if you can find that clip, James. I think I put it on my Instagram, but it may have gone by now. Going, oh, I'm just so scared. I'm so scared that Donald Trump's going to make himself a king. And he's such an authoritarian. And I watched this and I was like, that woman, I guarantee you during COVID, that woman was spying on her neighbors and informing the police. And I guarantee you that's the same woman who was saying, everybody, we must force everyone to wear masks and get the vaccine. Because she hates authoritarianism now, but when she was the authoritarian, she had no problem with it.
Well, okay, that one, we don't know that for
her. You could map it on.
I get the inferences you're making, but I think for... You brought in something very interesting, right? So having pride and whatever, that's cool. Do that.
Sure.
That's dope. The issue is not that. Okay, so I would say, would you say then, by that logic, using the K word should be fine?
No, I choose not to, because I think it's just, that is the only reason you would use that word is to offend someone, is to be deliberately insulting.
Right.
Right. So there's a difference between that and deciding that certain language, euphemistic language, or a certain term, because this always happens in cultures, that people appropriate words and language for good or bad reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people with perfectly good intentions say, oh, well, we're not going to use that that word anymore. I mean, you have like grown adults talking about their helper, like they're a quadriplegic who needs to be pushed around on a skateboard or something. And say, this is someone who, it's your cleaner or it's your maid, or your domestic worker, if you don't like that word. Or, and I'm going to use the word, your servant. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to. You can assume the best in someone rather than assume the worst. Like if someone tells me that their job is as a cleaner, I can assume, okay, well, that's a perfectly respectable job. I think that they must be good at it because there's an oversupply of people who could do it.
Who could do it, yeah.
And there are only a few people who are paid and kept in a job
to do it, yeah.
Because they know what they're doing.
Right.
And I'll give them the best possible version of credit that I can.
Right.
As a human being, if you say you're a cleaner, I'm not going to think less of you.
Right.
Similarly, if someone says, you know, I have servants, which is what people have referred to when they talk to people in that industry for the longest time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to assume that's because they're some, you know, huge hungover racist from the 1950s in South Africa who's like secretly hating black people and cursing about them at Braai's.
Right.
I'm going to assume, like most things in this country, I saw two women walking yesterday on the side of the road. I was heading out at about 5:30.
Yeah.
And I saw a black and a white woman, both walking dogs together, both in jogging gear, like, you know, like these hot moms who kind of, right. I was trying to work out what was going on there.
Right.
Because they were chatting to each other the whole time. They've got these big dogs with them. There's a lot of uncharacteristic, unexpected shit going on there.
But to who?
To me, like as just an observer.
Right.
I'm like, what's happening? Are these two neighbors? Are they friends? Do they have kids at the same school?
Right.
Are they lesbians who are in a relationship? Are the dogs all this woman's? Are two of the dogs that woman's? I was trying to figure it out because I find this fascinating.
Right.
And it wasn't important what I thought because obviously the two of them were out in their jog, both looking quite like good, by the way. Mm-hmm. So obviously the jogging's working.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the stuff that matters. You give people credit. You assume the best in them, and you will see all around you reasons why people should get along, as opposed to reasons why people should be super sensitive, to go back to our original discussion,
yeah.
Or why people should be triggered by this or triggered by a word or triggered by that. It's like these infantile, childish things have crept into our world, and instead of appreciating each other and laughing with each other and having fun and getting along and making the world a more interesting and thoughtful place, we're looking for some people, not us, but some people are looking for reasons to fight, to separate, to divide, to make people dislike each other. And I think I'm just like over it. Maybe I'm getting old.
No, I get you. So what's interesting about that, you know, what you've just said, super interesting. Your first thought in seeing them, whether it's not because you're white, whether a black person or whoever, the first thought was not seeing two women jogging.
No, it was what I thought.
Right. But it was, what's happening there? Because that's a white woman and a black woman.
No.
Do you get what I mean?
Not from a point of view of like confusion and being distraught about it.
No.
It was that's pretty cool. That's cool to see, right?
Right. So why is that cool to see? Because there's a thing before that where that would not have existed before.
Exactly. The context of this country. Sure.
Right. So hence why I'm saying then, the context of the word, I always give this example to people, right? To say, OnlyFans. Its initial thing, right, as a platform, is for people to put up their content and sell it directly to the consumer without the middleman.
Sure.
That's what OnlyFans as a concept is.
By the way, James, have you got that graph of the OnlyFans profit over all the other companies? Did you ever see this?
Oh, yeah, they're making...
Jesus, dude. No, this is something else. Let me just see if I've still got it in my gallery. I sent it to James the other day to share on the group.
Right.
Or on the show. No, let me just find this. You're going to love this, dude. This is unbelievable. Because these numbers are just spectacular, right? So we think that like NVIDIA, the guys who make the chips, are the biggest profit-making enterprise. And certainly their share price is through the roof. Okay, so Amazon made, this is revenue per employee in US dollars.
Okay.
Revenue per, so they take the revenue of the company, divide it by how many employees they've got, and then they work out roughly what that is. 0.4 million for Amazon. Tesla's at 0.8 million. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, 1.1 million. Again, these are rough estimates based on revenue and staff. Alphabet, 1.9. That's Google and so on. Apple, 2.4. Cursor, 3.3, who frankly, I can't tell you what Cursor do. I'm not sure what they are. If you know, then you can let us know in the comments. NVIDIA, 3.6 million.
Right.
Right. And then OnlyFans, like quadruple times another quadruple. You got 37.6 million for OnlyFans.
Come on with it.
This has got to be one of the most cash positive, profitable businesses ever devised by humanity. And basically, I know that the idea was what you're saying, to cut out the middleman.
And so da da da. Yeah.
If you have a
comedy
you want to make a funny video where you make fart noises with your mouth or whatever, and someone's prepared to pay you, they can come straight to you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the OnlyFans people take, what, 20% or something?
Yeah, 20% of that,
in
and
tax.
They give you the rest.
But okay, fine, fair enough. Now, of course, everybody just thinks porn.
Right.
Right, because porn just takes over. If you let porn in, it becomes the
Becomes the thing, yeah. You see what I'm saying? So someone then in that space, there we go.
Yes.
Look at that. Come on with it.
That's just unbelievable.
Come on with it. Now imagine being on OnlyFans and no one's watching your stuff.
But imagine, that must be so
that
depressing.
That sucks, bro. When those are the come on.
But imagine thinking that you could get in now and make that kind of money.
Because
I think it's too late.
It's too late now. Right? Yeah, it's too late.
Like now, if you try to do the OnlyFans thing, I think you might have missed the boat.
Yeah, it's like trying to be a rapper now. It's like, bro, it's too late. Let it go.
Okay, so you were going to make a point, though. I keep interrupting.
Yeah, no, so it was that to say if what it was known for.
Context.
Yes, fair and fine. So, but now, if we're being fair, it's known. If I was to say, my content is on OnlyFans, I wouldn't be mad at someone who says, what, you do porn? Because technically that's what it's known for. So same thing with like the word servant. In its original form and whatever, it's not wrong. But the context that in which it's existed for so long.
Okay, but then.
And what it's carried.
But then surely the answer to this is to just have more conversations where we actually talk honestly like you and I are now.
Yeah.
Because then we won't have this bullshit for very long.
Right.
I don't like euphemistic language, and I don't like, mostly because I think language is a tremendously powerful tool.
Yeah, true.
And I think language is magical. Mm-hmm. And if you use it properly, and if you know a lot of words, and you can use those words to more accurately convey meaning to people.
Yeah.
Then you're using language for the right purposes.
That's true.
I think that a lot of people who say, oh, we're not using that word anymore, or you must use this one instead, or they start inventing or changing the meaning of words. Mm-hmm. I think that those people are probably quite bad actors in society, because the whole point of language is to convey meaning. It's not to rule over others.
Yeah.
It's not to create a mechanism through which you can suppress, oppress, sensitize, desensitize, change people's interpretation of the world. If language isn't doing the job of describing something explaining something, it shouldn't exist.
I get
that
you.
That simply.
I get
so
you.
If there's a term for something and a couple of people get a little bit hurt by the term, maybe they're just oversensitive people rather than we must get rid of the term.
Right. So again, context. Yeah. Like for me, TikTok, right? So I do a lot of like TikTok lives and whatever and hold discussions
I don't watch TikTok, but a lot of your stuff is coming up on my Instagram feed.
Oh, dope.
So it's coming, but I can see you made it for TikTok.
For TikTok,
right?
Yeah. Yes. So that, like, it frustrates me so much. So you can't use the word kill. You can't use the word rape.
People have to asterisk everything.
Everything. And it's like, but what are you doing? Because the conversation's still happening.
What was it I saw? Suicide is not allowed.
Suicide, unalive. You said you have to say unalive for suicide.
You have to unalive.
Yeah. So someone unalived themselves.
I mean, like, what is that shit?
Right. We know what you're saying, right? So if the substitution of this still means the same thing, then
you're just playing games.
You're playing games. right? For me, it's like, this is stupid, man.
Yeah, stop, I totally agree with you.
You know, but I also, I'm a very big believer, and that's what doing those lives has shown me in what you just said. Like, we have to have those conversations openly and understanding, oh, that's where you're coming from. Oh, totally okay. Agree. Instead of immediately then casting aspersions on someone. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Do,
but anyway.
Do you have any strong feelings on Men's Mental Health Awareness Month? Because I've seen that this is what's going on now. I think it's June, right? So this is the month. And it was Father's Day on Saturday, which is one of the quietest days on social media for various reasons.
Yep.
And I think that maybe we should just at least refer to this. I want to know what you think.
Yeah.
I don't have very strong feelings about Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, but we'll talk about that after. What are your thoughts?
I also have a
nice
very...
Nice handbag, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
What do you keep in there?
Firstly, my passport.
Oh.
Like, I have to, you know, before they start asking me what
the fucking South African police, otherwise they'll harass you. No, they'll harass you.
They will harass you. So I have to keep that with me all the time to show that I'm here legally.
You know, I just want to say before we get onto Men's Mental Health stuff, we have got some very, very nasty shit going on in this country. And it's subtle. It's the same kind of subtle stuff that was going on before 1994.
Okay.
Where I'm going to say this, and you can disagree with me if you think it's not true, where South Africans are all smiley and tolerant, and we're such friendly people, and we don't mind if you bring your skills to the country and you want to come and work here, you must come. But then you see these politicians, and by the way, I saw that Floyd Shivambu's finally decided to give MK the heave-ho, or vice versa, who knows which way.
But
you hear
people
like Herman Mashaba, who are like basically... You know how Trump keeps talking about, we're going to build the wall, all illegal immigrants out.
Right.
And you hear that stuff in America, and I think there are politicians in this country who've just copied and pasted it.
Right, right, right.
And you could talk about immigration, you could talk about doing things the right way, but once someone is in the country legally, you can't hate them for not being from your country.
Oh, okay.
Because then you're just a shit.
I get you.
You're just a shit.
Yeah.
And I know that there are many people from Zimbabwe, Malawi, Mozambique, Botswana, who live and work in South Africa and have for sometimes 10-plus years and still have to be putting up with shit, showing their passport and stuff that wouldn't be asked of a South African.
Right, 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 right. I get you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
And like,
I understand.
Most people who are from these neighboring countries, they just put up with it. They don't do this to Germans. They don't do this to French tourists. They don't do this to people from America.
Right, 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 right.
You know what I mean?
I get you. I get you.
Which I do think is just another kind of hypocrisy. I'm not impressed with this.
I hear you. I hear you. I think, no, if you're talking about the legal, because I've had those conversations as well, and I've asked, what's the talk exactly? Do you have a problem with illegal foreigners or all foreigners? Yeah. So if the illegal ones get legal, would that be cool?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, a lot of people have said, you know what, to be quite honest with you, hey, man, we don't want foreigners. Like, can you guys go back home? And it's like, all right, fair.
But again, like, what is home? Because people are constantly in migration all over the world.
Right.
Like, how could people be sensitive about this shit in a world? They obviously haven't read enough history.
I get you. I get you. The traveling
many,
and...
How many people don't even know who their grandparents are? They don't know who they are.
Right.
But they'll tell you all about, like, the land. And you're like, dude, you've got to actually know. You've got to read a history book or two. You've got to understand that humans are constantly on the move. And if someone who was born in Bulawayo decides that they want to come and give it a go here in South Africa, and they go through the process, they have every much as right to be here as you. You might only – how do you know – that your grandfather wasn't from Ethiopia?
Got you.
Because you can't tell me anything about him. And unless you're going to study these things and you're going to actually pay attention to the facts, I don't think you have an argument. I just brought that up because you showed me the passport.
Yeah.
But Men's Mental Health Awareness, does this mean a damn thing to you?
Well, I've got a funny view. Well, not funny view, but a bit of a controversial take on it, right? Because... I feel like there's an overcorrection, right? And that overcorrection is now, like, there was this video of this dude who filmed himself crying because his woman had left him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, it's okay to be heartbroken and whatever. But we can't now start wanting to breed a group of weak men. You know what I mean? Like, acknowledging the issue?
Dude, I'm so
cool, right? Let's acknowledge the issue, but we've got work to do, bro. Take your 5 minutes, come back, let's...
I mean, who in the world is interested in a man feeling sorry for himself?
Right.
Who in the world? It's certainly not women.
Mm-hmm.
It's not other men.
No.
And as far as I can tell, that leaves very, very few people in between men and women.
Right.
Whoever they may be. And I don't think they're that interested either.
Either. Nobody is, to be honest.
Nobody cares. So, like, the point is, and I didn't want to make a thing of this, but I did say the other day, my favorite word for this kind of thing is wah. Right. Like a baby that goes wah.
Right.
No, I'm still trying to work out how to spell it.
Right.
But that's my response to any of this stuff is when like a grown man cries about, oh, I'm so depressed and I'm so anxious and, you know, I feel insecure and my confidence is an all-time low and wah. Like,
right.
So who on earth is meant to pick you up and carry you across the finish line?
Right. I wouldn't say nobody cares. That's not where I am. I care for you to do the thing because there are tools to fix this thing. So that's where I am.
You like, care no, more
my
than
dog?
Me.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you why. Because nobody has the emotional capacity to care for that many people, particularly not strangers.
Mm.
And it's amazing to me that the very people who are looking for the world to care about them, for whatever reason, maybe they've had a really shitty childhood, and there are good reasons to be upset, don't get me wrong. But again, like, your sensitivities are not the world's problems. You don't get to foist your psychological problems on everyone else.
That's true.
And the people who are looking for everyone else to care about them are the same people who care about the opinions of strangers and who are looking for attention on the internet all the time.
Validation and whatever.
So if you're an attention seeker on the, if you're going to film yourself crying, if you're going to self-consciously sit there, switch your phone on, press record,
right,
and make an embarrassing, humiliating video where you're wailing like a banshee,
right,
and you're then going to post that on social media under the banner of Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, and ask strangers for their likes and subscriptions or their sympathy, then you're going to get what you deserve, which is probably 50% abuse,
right,
and 50% pathological compassion,
right,
and you're going to carry on being a miserable sack of shit.
So,
good for you. I don't really care. I think that any men who are not, let's just say, who have not done anything in their lives. Let's say you've got a family you're looking out for, you're working hard, you're doing, and I'm not talking about complicated. You don't have to have gone to war
or
rescued some princess from a castle or a dragon.
Burning
or
castle,
whatever.
Yeah.
But have done something.
Right.
You have to have actually done something more than have held down your job in marketing at a local branch of some bank. That's not a tough.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't survived. I'm a strong guy. I survived. Remember there was that thing that happened in this country where a whole bunch of men got together, somewhere in the Free State or whatever. It was like a whole bunch of dudes who got together and, like, arm in arm started singing songs and, I don't know, crying or whatever. And I remember this happening somewhere in the probably early 2000s.
Right.
I can't remember who organized it or anything else, but I watched this and it really put me off.
Right.
Big way.
I'm with you on that.
That is the place you would least likely find me.
Find me. Yeah. There, I'm not there. Where we're now sitting and crying and we're, nah. I'm, yo, Gareth, what's happening with you?
Sure, with
you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But with your friends, right?
Yeah, people, with my friends and whatever. Yeah.
And by the way, there's going to be some taking the piss out of you.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of that.
Like, we're going to roast you, you know what I mean? And whatever. No. But the thing is, yo, man, before we get here, there's these 20 things we could have done, right? Yeah. Let's do this. Then if we fail at this, bro, I might sit and cry with you because now even I don't know.
Sure.
But in our network of doing things, I know a therapist. I know a this. I know a that. Do you know what I mean? I know a lawyer. Hey, for some people, I know a prosecutor we can slip money under the table for. do you know what I mean? There's a plethora of things we can do before. And we're not talking chronic depression, because sure. I understand that as a medical thing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You know what I mean? But this thing now where men are just supposed to sit and cry and, oh my God, it's like, no, whoa.
I think that maybe that works for certain guys, maybe.
Right.
I don't know how successful it is, though. We have a psychologist on the show every Monday.
Yeah.
And he's a very practical guy.
Right.
That's one of the reasons we keep having him on, is because he's booked up. Like, everybody loves going to men, women, old people, young people, rich, poor. He's busy all the time.
Right.
And he's very good at what he does. But he's so practical. And I think that kind of talk therapy might be good for guys.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But there are also things that we need to do that are not about talking.
Right.
For example, I mean, I spent Sunday, my mom was away. Mm-hmm. So my dad was at home on Sunday night. You know, your mother always goes, oh, I hope he can eat. Like, he's capable of feeding himself.
Right.
But I went around there anyway because I wanted to spend a bit of time with him. It was just the day after Father's Day, or it was Father's Day, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Cooked supper, and then sat and watched like YouTube videos of these absolutely magnificent guns that they make at Holland and Holland and Purdy and in London, which is a mutual interest of both me and my dad. We didn't have to sit there and talk to each other for hours girls would.
Yeah.
But it was time well spent, you know?
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. He absolutely loved
it.
It was just great.
Right.
With minimum effort. Like, that's the kind of relationship we've got as father and son. And I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's right? it. Yeah.
You don't have to sit there and like, where am I? I'm in Men's Mental Health Month and, you know, this person is being mean to me or whatever. You're not in primary school anymore.
Right. So I'm with you on that one, man. I'm with you on that one. I'm really about, as dudes. God, we went to war. Men went to war.
Men have gone to war for years.
They built things and they, and then now we can't. You know what I mean? It's like, there's stuff we can do, man, instead of sitting and crying. And, like, I'm in a custody battle right now and trying to get access to my boy. I'm not going to sit and pretend it doesn't take a toll on you.
Sure.
It does. But I'm also acknowledging that I walked by myself without a lawyer to court, went to children's court. And the process is actually very efficient, right?
But were you scared at all? Because maybe not of the institutions or the process, but if the result doesn't go your way, the consequences are quite great, right?
They are great, but I've also made peace with that and what I'll have to do to fix that.
How old is your kid?
He's turning one in September.
Oh, wow, still a baby.
Yeah, so still a baby. Right. So whatever happens with that, it's like, you know what the process is, right? But instead of then sitting back, and I did go through my period of not being okay.
Is this custody?
Yes, it's basically custody and gaining access and
you're
whatever.
You're always in big deficit as a guy because by and large, there's some places in the world, and I don't know what South Africa's overarching rule is, if we even have one, but usually the court finds in favor of the mother.
So this is where it's different now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is where it's different. Like, when I wrote the thing of what I wanted and why, I got a response within like 3 weeks. And the lady had said, hey, listen, man, this might take time, da-da. And then when I said, you told me this might take time, how did this come out? And just like, no, because of the way you articulated it.
Oh.
Right? So even the judge was like, I want Child Protective Services involved here. Because I want to know what's happening. This doesn't make sense. So then you're like, oh, okay. And then I just found out there's a new rule that if you can show beyond a reasonable doubt that you are being denied access, you can open a criminal case against the mom. But this is information if we're all going to sit, I don't have that.
Yeah, sure.
You don't know this. And everybody's going to coddle around you. And like what you just said, which is a belief that everyone has. That, oh, they're going to rule in favor. It's like, no, Walk in there.
That's interesting info.
Yeah,
that's
walk very in there interesting. And all find right. out for yourself. Do you know what I mean? So it's one of those. We need to breed a group of men that are proactive, that are doing things. If you're not okay, take your 5 minutes, have a cigarette, rub one out. I don't know what you need to do. If you need to come and talk to us, come talk and we figure it out. But we got work to do and we get back to work, you know, so.
Carl DeSantos says, be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm a strong, responsible man who runs businesses. I employ people and I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I also have a severe anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Carl, not a day goes by on the show where you don't comment and we don't give you shit. So I don't think that's going to change.
Right.
And but do you find that there are a lot of people using these mental health issues mm-hmm. as a crutch for an evident lack of personality? The disorder gives them something interesting to talk about because they're not interesting people. I've found this particularly with a lot of Gen Z. What do they call them? Kind of. What is the next one?
The young ones.
Yeah, they like having something they can describe in medical terminology as a crutch, as an excuse, as a get out of jail free card for right. when they've been caught being just lazy sacks of shit.
Right.
I've seen this happen a lot.
A lot, yeah. I wouldn't know in terms of, you know, to have a very strong stance on that. I don't have enough info on that, I'll be honest. But my thing is, okay, cool. If that's what you're saying you have,
yeah.
What are you doing about it? What's happening? Did you get what I mean? Yeah. What I don't tolerate, especially from men, is, oh yeah, this is me, and then we're all now meant to stop, and you know what I mean? What are you doing about it? What's happening?
Yeah, the worst is attention seeking.
Right. You know,
the worst is people who are going to go to the internet mm-hmm. and ask strangers for their attention.
Right.
Because that's not, first of all, that's not going to help you. Mm-hmm. Who was it who said, it was Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. I saw this yesterday. If you take the same problem to more than three people, you're not looking for a solution. You're looking for attention.
Attention, yeah. I could believe that.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's so spot on. Mm-hmm. Men are probably more sensitive these days, says Judas, because they are growing up fatherless. I strongly believe a man raised by a single mother will be more prone to being emotionally sensitive to breakups. Well, yes, probably, again, through no fault of the mother's, right?
Yeah.
Or the kid. But the idea that you've got to sit and talk through everything mm-hmm. is much easier and more straightforward for women.
Right.
Like you said, men have got to go out and do something. Doing is often more therapeutic for us than
sitting
saying.
And, yeah.
Or gossiping or talking or sharing or
right,
whatever.
Right. Look at how many, you know, Celeste Ntuli says this and I find it funny and interesting. Look at how many podcasts are out there now.
Oh, Jesus, it's enough. I said the other day, we don't need this.
We
many,
don't.
Right. It's enough already.
We don't need, yeah.
but this is, and most of them are guys, mm-hmm. right? Because I suppose that the media has almost exclusively, it's like our schools,
right,
cater almost exclusively to girls.
Yeah.
There are very few mainstream media projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a meeting the other day with a potential client, and we were talking about one of the shows that we've got here called Let's Talk Man.
Right.
Now, what the reason for the show being, it's like, Let's Talk Man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Let's Talk Man.
Yeah,
they don't only talk about male stuff, it's doctors. Things, they talk about all kinds of shit. And
right.
A lot of it has to do with women and female particular medical problems and all mm-hmm. of those kinds of things. But this woman in this meeting immediately went, well, you know, one of our major focuses is the women, and we must worry about that. And I was like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
Not because we don't care. Mm-hmm. Not because that isn't important.
Right.
But because, my God, don't you realize that there is – you're just by being so focused on this, you're completely putting off
that.
The other half, because they know you're not talking to them.
Right.
Remember that whole take a girl child to work to thing, work, which I thought was a very good idea.
Yeah.
You know, give girls an opportunity to go and visit the place of work of their mom or dad or uncle or whoever it was who's got an interesting job, and let's get more women into certain parts of the economy because maybe they're underrepresented, et cetera, et cetera. But eventually you've got to stop pushing uphill.
Right.
Because eventually you've just got to let the market work the way the market does. And if something like engineering, for example, attracts, I think it's 90% males.
Men,
then stop trying to put a square peg into a round hole.
Right.
Maybe girls just don't like
they
engineering.
Don't like it,
maybe it's not that engineering is biased against women. Maybe it's that women don't want to,
they don't want
be
to do
engineers.
It. Yeah.
They don't want to build fucking bridges.
Right.
Maybe building bridges is not something that women are as interested in.
Yeah, true.
As men. Just by virtue of something in the genes, maybe there's something in that other X chromosome we don't understand.
Right.
Maybe it's part of nature rather than nurture, because who can figure these things out? We are different. It's one of the reasons we find each other, men and women, attractive.
Yeah.
So, because there's stuff there that I don't have, there's stuff here that you don't have. Mm-hmm. When we come together, we make things better.
Exactly. So it's I totally agree with you on that, man. I don't know how we got here. That's for me what boggles my mind.
I want to blame the politicians.
Right.
I want to. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to anyway.
Right.
Because I think what they've done over the years is they've pandered to people who feel left out.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So what
fair,
they've done,
fair.
And the media have then followed suit, because the media, most of the media business, especially in this country, are run by some of the dumbest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Right.
So what they do is that if the politicians set the tone, then they just follow.
Then they go with it.
Because they also ingratiate themselves with the politicians. That's how they end up having access, which earns them a living, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly in the old style news media.
Right.
So if you go up to a group of women, you talk about women's issues. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as you're around a group of men, you talk about men's issues. Mm-hmm. That's what politicians do. They pander.
They pander to people.
And what we've got to stop doing, now thanks to the internet, we can see when they're pandering, because people will film it.
Right.
And then they'll put a message on here, which is like, this is the women's message. Women's, 16 days of activism and gender-based violence. And then round the corner, they're giving a completely different message to a group of men.
Right.
And now we can see, and we can compare them and go, hang on, you scummy, slimy politician.
Yeah.
We can see what you're on
what
about.
What you're doing. Yeah.
We see what you're up to.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't allow them to get away with it anymore. That's certainly my point of view. I don't know if you have any strong feelings on this, but this idea of like Men's Mental Health Month, like we need to pay special attention to men. I know that the suicide rate is higher. Mm-hmm. Men, very many men, are only valued on what they can bring
home.
What
they can bring home. Yeah, that's very true. So I don't have, for me, I don't have a problem with the month itself or the awareness around it.
This awareness thing is such bullshit. I mean, who's out there that doesn't think that they can find someone to, and if you can't find someone to talk to, you're totally alone? If you are so completely alone, that's probably the cause of most of your problems.
Well, look, I will say this, right? So what we've gathered from like the lives I host on TikTok, we talk to quite a lot of women, right, who were on there, and we ask them what their thoughts are on men who, quote unquote, express themselves. And all of them said, listen, that makes me put on my panties very quickly. Right? So
as opposed to taking them off.
So they don't find it attractive.
Sure.
And with fair, right? I'm not going to then tell women they're wrong for that. Fair, they don't find it attractive, which maybe could be one of the reasons why then as gents they, you know, oh, maybe let me hold back, let me not be. That's okay. You don't have to do it to and with women. There are other things that you can do. To say, like the gentleman who said, I suffer from anxiety, you're not wrong for that. You suffer from that. Cool. What are you doing about it? So this is where the awareness bit comes in.
Sugar Shabalala says, as a guy, I just think the best advice is to buy yourself a toolbox. Do something. Be busy.
Right. Do you see?
Like, build, make something.
Yeah. This go is... running. Get a hobby. A lot of...
Sure.
A cooler box is not a hobby, gents. It's the cooler box and beers and what's that Viano, the V-Class Mercedes and Slay Queens. That's not a hobby, bro. You know what I mean? Like, play tennis, play basketball, yeah, right. Run, do something that gets your mind off things and, you know, look for an old white woman to talk to every once a week. You know what I mean? Like, do something, bro. Like, now we're all supposed to sit here because, trust me, Gareth, and I've seen this so many times where you're like, okay, what's the issue? And then they tell you the issue. And then you say, okay, have you done this? No. Why are we crying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, why are we... Let's fix this. What's the problem? Oh, no, the problem is that I need to do this, that, and the other. Have you applied for funding? Have you gone to the... Do you know where the offices
are? No. People, this comes up all the time. I had this conversation with someone just the other day. They're like, they want someone to save them. Mm-hmm. They want a Jesus or a magical wizard from Harry Potter. I don't know what they want.
Right.
But people, certain people, who have been, I think, lied to from an early age, they think some savior is going to come.
Right.
Someone's going to pitch up and make everything all right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not how it works.
They build this idea up in their head that one day something magical will happen. They'll win the lottery or... some tremendous great fortune will fall on them, and then all their problems will go away. But they're just going to keep doing what they're doing, which is mostly nothing.
Right.
And then suddenly their luck will turn.
Right. It doesn't work.
You know
that
story about the guy who prays. He says to God, "Yeah, I really want to win the lottery. I'd love to win the lottery. Please, Lord, can I win the lottery?" And he prays and prays and prays. Eventually, he goes to the shop, he buys a ticket, he doesn't win the lottery. So he stops praying, he stops buying the lottery ticket after one time.
Right.
And then eventually he starts praying again. He's like, Lord, please, can you help me win the lottery? And eventually God's like, had enough. So he's, yes, I'll help you, says out loud. The guy is kind of like shocked. He's like, yes, I'll help you win the lottery. So the guy waits and waits and waits. And after like 8 weeks of not winning the lottery, the guy's like, God, what's the problem here? You said you'd help me win the lottery. And God's like, meet me halfway and buy a ticket.
Right. Get the ticket.
I can't do everything.
Yeah. Get out of bed. Yeah.
So I don't know if you noticed, but James, the producer, he is a regular shitter.
Okay.
So we know that 7 o'clock, right, James? Right, 7 o'clock, he has to go and take a shit.
Right.
I saw that Slippery Pickle said this or someone else in the comments. So we're going to take a break so that we can let James take a shit. We'll make sure that Q has something to drink, and we'll be back in a minute or two. By the way, we're going to be talking about robots and the future of technology in a short while too, so I hope you're in for that.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's have a conversation. And don't go anywhere. We've got lots more where that came from.